Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Acts. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. But even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon blood. Before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day, then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read the psalm responsively. How manifold are your works, O Lord. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
Wondrous to see, great and wide, with its forms too many to number, living things both small and great.
There go the ships to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it.
All of them look.
You give it to them, they gather it in. You open your hand, and they are filled with good things.
When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust.
You send forth your spirit, they are created, and so you renew the face of the earth.
May the Lord and the Lord endure forever. The Lord rejoice in all your works.
You look at the earth and it trembles. You touch the mountains and they smoke.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being.
May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Hallelujah.
Our second reading is from Romans. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption. When we say, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. The word of God. Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
What is you, O Lord?
Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as I said at the beginning, is Pentecost Sunday, one of the few Sundays in the church year that we get to deck out in red. And oh, I mean, this red is just incredible. Yay. But other than that, this is one of the festivals that we don't quite know what to do with. Yes, it is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples after Jesus' ascension, which some would say is the actual birth of the church, and birthday parties are important, right? But it's a whole focus on the Holy Spirit that's a thing we don't quite get. Last Sunday, I preached on the ascension of our Lord and quoted the theologian Elizabeth Johnson, who argues that our church and our theology has long ignored the Holy Spirit. We can easily talk about God the Father, right, the one who created, God the Son, Jesus, who died and rose again, but that Spirit, how do we understand her? I don't think it is coincidental that the word, as I said to the children, both in Hebrew and Greek, can be translated as spirit, breath, or wind. And wind is not something we can control. And wind can be relentless, stirring things up, even causing some damage. I don't know what it was like for you here last weekend, Memorial Weekend, but in the Kansas City area, the wind blew and blew and blew. On Saturday, all day Sunday, and Monday, and then it stormed. And things that we cannot control make us a bit nervous. At least they do me. So again, what do we do with this festival of Pentecost that focuses on the Holy Spirit that we cannot control, especially when we hear stories like from Acts about tongues of fire resting on the disciples' head? Has anything that dramatic ever happened to you? Hasn't happened to me. And being able to speak in different tongues so that everyone can understand, even when we speak in the same language, we don't seem to be able to understand each other. Now, it may seem that I'm leading up to an argument against celebrating Pentecost. Not only does the larger culture ignore it, but many in the church just don't get it, unless you're Pentecostal. But the opposite is actually true. I would argue that we need this festival because we are called to experience the Spirit, not just in roaring wind and tongues of fire, a dynamic proclamation to an international audience, but in Jesus' promise of comfort and guidance, a promise that enables the disciples to move beyond their fear into peace and love. And surely that is something we need these days. The assurance that the Spirit of Jesus has come and now dwells in us. And the Spirit dwells in us so that we can live in love, not in fear, which is the theme of my sermon. The Spirit dwells in us so we can live in love, not fear. Numerous times throughout Scripture, including our gospel for today, we hear the command, "Do not be afraid." To quote a familiar phrase, "Easier said than done." When my middle son was in college, he ended up in the hospital with kidney stones. At first, they didn't know it was kidney stones because they didn't show up on the x-rays, so they would run all kinds of tests concerned that it could be a much more serious kidney condition. Well, we would have to wait all day for the doctor to finally come and give us the test results. By the end of the second day, I was a wreck, worrying about all the possible things that could be wrong with my son. At one point, he looked over at me and said, "Mom, just quit worrying. I'm fine." To which I replied, "John, you're on a morphine drip. I'm not. Don't tell me not to worry. I'm your mother." There is a lot of scary stuff that happens in our lives and is going on in this world. And it's hard not to be fearful. COVID is still out there among us, infecting people. We have witnessed another mass shooting at an elementary school. Our children are not even safe at their own schools, which has led to renewed debates and arguments around gun control laws, revealing how deeply divided we are as a nation. Will we ever be able to come together and actually do something to make this country safer? Inflation continues to rise. Can you believe the price of gas these days? Not to mention groceries. Everything is so expensive. When will it get better? When will it end? And the church is not immune from the conflicts, the questions, the worries about our future. My friends, we are not coming out of this pandemic in the same way that we went into it. So much has changed. How do we continue to adapt to be both faithful to the gospel and relevant to the changing world? And Jesus tells us in the midst of all of this, don't be afraid. Our gospel reading begins with Philip's request in response to Jesus' assurance that the way to the place where he is going, which is a huge source of fear and anxiety for the disciples, Jesus is going away, they already know. Well, how do we know the way? We don't see it in the midst of this impending crisis of your departure. You're going up to heaven and you're leaving us behind to deal with all the messes. So show us, how are we supposed to handle your leaving? What are we supposed to do? It's not about what you're supposed to do, Jesus tells them. It's about what I have done and continue to do. I am sending you my Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to guide you, to be with you, so you don't have to be afraid. Meta Stamper, in her commentary on Working Preacher, writes, "The promise of the Spirit does not come to completely faithful, courageous people already loving one another and the world boldly, already worshiping in spirit and truth. It comes in the midst of confusion and fear, which has made the disciples unable to grasp what Jesus is saying, and it is the answer to that. Jesus makes the promise of the Spirit, emerging from the mutual love that the Father and Son have for one another and have for us, into which the disciples and we are invited at the very moment when such grace seems beyond our grasp. In this text, Jesus tells us that simply in their love for Jesus, for God, they are opening their hearts to the presence of God in them in the form of the Spirit of Truth, who will guide them and embolden them for love. For love. What struck me about this interpretation is that it is all grounded in love. Jesus invites Philip and the disciples to trust, which is what the word believe means in the Gospel of John, to trust that Jesus is in God and God is in Jesus, whose works are all centered in love. Jesus is the one who makes God's love for the world known. Jesus is the one who enacts love in his words and actions, healing on the Sabbath because people are more important than human traditions, feeding the 5,000, weeping at the death of Lazarus, humbly kneeling down to wash the disciples' feet to give them an example of how to love. It is love that is the greater works that we are called to do, that the Spirit enables us to do as we move out of fear and trust God's love for us. It also helps us to understand what I think is an absolutely absurd promise in our gospel. Did you catch it? If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. Really? Come on. Really? Jesus will do anything we ask, I guess, in the right way, in his name, what? Well, the best explanation I have heard about this passage is from a man named Andrew Wakefield, who suggests that the parent-child relationship offers an analogy for what Jesus is actually promising here. Listen to this. If we extend the analogy just a little, we may be able to think of these promises as some sort of hyperbole that parents use when they tell a child, "I would do anything for you." The child may say, "Really? Then I want a tattoo. I want a pet elephant. I want a Ferrari." The child has missed the point. The hyperbole shows the parent's infinite love for the child, a love that will seek the good of the child even above the parent's own good. "I will do whatever for you because that's how much I love you." This promise is not a blank check or an invitation to blame ourselves if we don't have our prayers answered. Well, what did we do wrong? Rather, this promise is Jesus' assurance that the Spirit, God's great and abiding love for them, continues, is with them dwells within them. This great and abiding love is what enables us to then live our lives in love, to do the greater things, even the complicated, messy, scary things, because we know God. We know the truth. That truth has been revealed to us through the Spirit, because you all know, I know y'all know, Luther's Small Catechism, the explanation for the third article of the Apostles' Creed, right? I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, but believe in Jesus Christ, but who? The Holy Spirit, thank you very much. The Holy Spirit has called me through the Gospels, enlightened me with gifts, and keeps me in the true faith. May we live into the fullness of the Spirit, who is breathed over us and into us, who dwells within our hearts, who advocates for us, and who relentlessly, relentlessly keeps blowing us out of our fear into love. Love that brings care and compassion and justice and mercy, God's desire for all creation, to those people who are still living in fear. That is why we need this festival, this reminder, this reality that ought to be celebrated over and over again, because we are the Church of Jesus Christ and His Spirit is in us. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.